hello, and welcome to Watch What Croppens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben.
Hello, Ben.
Good morning, Ronnie Karam. How are you?
Good. Everybody, welcome to the show today. It's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Day. If you want this recap on Vidya, it's a video. For those of you who don't speak Dreet, go listen to it over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, or watch it rather. But it has audio as well. And that's also where you get ad-free listening, bonus episodes, our newsletter, which is free. It's like a blog. Just read it. It's fun. And Discord server, all that stuff is over there. So go to Patreon. And thanks for being here. Ben, what's going on with you today?
I'm riding the high of having just indulged in a ham and cheese croissant at the local bakery. I decided to treat myself for a Friday, and I'm like literally so happy right now. I'm just like, that was just the perfect way to start the weekend. That's where I'm at. That's my I'm in Croissantville, you know.
That's great.
But more globally, I am actually very happy. I was really enjoyed the TV on Bravo last night. I enjoyed this episode of Beverly Hills very much. Of course, Ladies of London is fantastic. We'll talk about that later. But I'm a happy little clam. How about you?
Good. Yeah, I'm happy too. I'm not carb fueled, which sucks. But, I'm still happy. Why not? Why not be happy? Yeah. My mom's Canasta group took me out to happy hour, so that was really fun. I got to chill with all the
say no more.
Got to catch up on all the lady gossip, which I've sorely been missing. It's amazing. People have been sending me a video of this kid on TikTok. It's a whole group of women sitting around on a couch listening to something on a phone, and they're like, oh my god, it's like some gossipy thing. And then it pans around the couch, and then there's like a chubby little kid eating ice cream, a little boy just listening to all of it intently, and they're like, is this you? Yes, it is. And it's still me at 50 years old, just hanging out with my mom and her friends. Like, ooh, girl, tell me about so-and-so. Did she really kill her husband? What do you all think?
That's a fun time. Well, I love that you had happy hour with the Canasta. The Canasta ladies, I went out board gaming last night. So yeah, it's just, as the weekend approaches, just lean into the fun times, right?
Yeah.
See, so my cup is very filled.
See some ladies. So yeah, everything's good over here.
Actually, my cup really is very filled because Bravo was good last night. And it's also, again, Ladies of London is just like, it's so tremendous. It's actually out of control how good Ladies of London is. But the perk of Beverly Hills being good last night too, got to play board games. I also, and I got my croissant. And I also published a new newsletter, new NBD Fancy. So it's all about salmon. The sexiest subject of all, salmon. But I did a thing where I listed my favorite salmon recipes, because basically I made salmon last week and I used a new recipe and it was so good that I was like, I've got to give more love to salmon.
Is that the miso honey glaze?
It was the Harissa honey glaze from Kalu Henry. I love me some Kalu Henry. She has a new cookbook, Better at Home. Y'all should get it. It's so far so good. But I was like, I got to write about salmon. And so, because like sometimes, and the tie into Beverly Hills is that like a lot of times when I think about salmon, I think of this one video I saw, and I have not been able to find it again, but Lisa Vanderpump once did like a look at me cooking at home with Pandora video, where Lisa and Pandora both made like very sad pieces of salmon together, which is like, it was like very perfectly fine, but it was just like two sort of mildly pink pieces of salmon with like some sort of like white sauce on top and like herbs. And it's probably lovely, but it also felt like a very sad, boring luncheon. And it's like that image of Lisa and Pandy with their salmons, their twin salmons, has actually stayed with me so much. And I think it informs a lot about Lisa and Pandora. But I also think that like, when I think about salmon, I just think of like a sad luncheon. And I was like, you know what? There's more to life for salmon. Let's bring salmon back. Let's make salmon great again. Okay, people.
It's a salmon revival. I don't know how people are still making such boring salmon. It's like the only fish in the store that looks decent. Have you noticed that? Why does all the fish suck in the store?
I know. It's salmon like is everywhere.
Both places I live, both in LA and here. It's like salmon's it. That's it. You can get other stuff, but it's always kind of gross. I mean, I don't eat that. Granted, I'm not that adventurous. I'll like have swordfish sometimes, but it just seems mushy or I don't know. Salmon's like the thing. It's all you can get, really. Salmon. It's all they're farming.
Salmon is the new it, to quote Dr. Jackie. Yeah, we're going to make salmon sexy again. But anyway, so yeah, I wrote about that. So I'm like feeling very happy. So go check that out. And I put my mom's Gravlax recipe in there, which is really great. So, you know, that's just a really shameless shill for my own newsletter, which
that's great.
Before we even did our newsletter. Crap and shilling. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good, well, no, our crap and shilling's done. So, you know, we have to shill something. This is Watch What Crap and. So, yeah, go get your salmon sexy. Get your salmon in a thong. Get some spray tan on it and get out there. It's hot salmon summer, y'all. So,
I was like, Ronnie, I'm in a little bit of a rush today because I'm going to go do Julia Cunningham's show after this. I was like, I'm a little bit on a rush. So, like, okay, we're going to start early. Okay, let me talk for 10 minutes about salmon.
Okay, here we are. Season 15, episode 15. 15. Good luck, everybody. Stranded under the Tuscan sun.
Salmon left behind in Italy.
A sad salmon in an abandoned church left behind by Dorit in 10 feet tall heels. So shots of Florence, bird's eye view of the little villa. Man, this vacation's lasting a long time, no? How many episodes?
Yeah, but this is their last day. Their last day on vacation, right?
Oh, good. Villa Bibi.
Honestly, this vacation's gone on so long and has been so uneventful that literally the people of Italy have left. Like, they had a whole scene in an abandoned town. I mean, obviously, it's like
the set of Walking Dead. I was waiting for like zombies to just suddenly appear and start eating everybody. What the fuck?
It was so surreal. It clearly must have been a Sunday because Sundays in Europe, all the towns just like empty out. It's like everyone's like, don't go outside on a Sunday.
Yeah. Or it was like the set of Real Housewives of Dubai. You know how the whole town would empty out so they could shoot. They're like, we will not be on TV. It's illegal or whatever their shit was. they just wouldn't come on TV. So everywhere they went was just like two people in this massive empty mall of a place. So here we are. We're at Villa Bibiani. It's the morning. Aren't you happy? It's the morning. The most exciting fucking guy, the most excited guy in the fucking world. Please just calm down. Okay, house host.
Yeah, seriously.
It's too much energy. I don't want to wake up to that. Good morning. Shut up. Okay, I get it. You're Italian. For Christ's sake. Just criticize my tomato sauce and go back to bed. Leave me alone. So Amanda wakes up and she wakes up in the most Amanda way. She like opens the curtains and she's like,
she's auditioning to do the new song, new opening song for Summer House. So then poolside, Bose and Rachel are hanging out on lounge chairs. Rachel's in a full-on caftan and Bose is like, well, it's our last day in Tuscany, let's live it up. And she goes, yeah, I'm tanning. You're in a full caftan. Your big toe is getting a tan, though. Oh, my God. My big toe has such a nice tan.
Yeah, but you don't understand. My caftan's getting tanned. It's like a thing. That's why it's called a caftan.
It's not called a calf pal.
This was white when I came out here. Now it's tan. So I'm dead.
Yeah, I want to model for Caius on how he should tan. Okay, it's important as a parent to model for your children.
Kyle goes into the kitchen where there's like, you know, the cast of Downton Abbey working. You just hear, Daisy! And she goes in, she's like, I'm high, can I have a coffee latte with like two shots? And I'm like, fuck off, Kyle. I love that the kitchen like semi-hates Kyle. shut up. Goodbye, Kyle. Arrivederci, Kyle. Okay.
Meanwhile, up in the Peter Pan bedroom where Wendy and all the children are sleeping, Amanda and Sutton are in their twin beds and they are talking. And Amanda's like, I think we're supposed to go grape stomping today. And Sutton's like, yeah, I've got to stomp something out, you know, because last night's dinner was a little weird. How did you feel about it? Isn't it strange that Natalie actually said something?
Nice subtle turn into the conversation. Well, I've got to stomp something out. Okay. She's like, wasn't last night weird? aren't you mad about it? And she's like, well, I mean, last night felt good. It feels good to be strong and like feel true to myself. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you were talking finally, so that's good. But listen, I got to say something. It's been sitting on me, okay? Sort of a confession of myself as well, okay? Because yesterday in the car on the way back from Florence, Erica got out her phone and she did that chat thing. GPT, yeah. And she typed her name into it, see what it would come up. And she read it out loud and there were snippets of not great reviews. I mean, that just felt mean-spirited to me. It was mean. ChatGPT. Oh, God, Sutton. Do something, Sutton. This is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to put it all on. You've had a nothing of a year, and this is what you're going to put all your chips on is an Amanda fight. No, you're on the wrong horse.
You throw everyone under the bus for ChatGPT. By the way, how do you not know that everyone, all those things were like hallucinating? You know, Like the ChatGPT, you know when like AI gets it wrong, they call it hallucinating because it thinks it like will give you an answer and then you'll be like, is that true? It'll be like, no. But not to bring it back to the salmon situation, but when I was writing my thing, I like made a declarative statement that like salmon is so good. I mean, it even has its own color. Like what other fish can say that? And then I thought, like what if there is another fish that has a color? So I asked AI and I was like, are there any other fish colors? And they're like, well, maybe they're like tuna and herring. I was like, really? I said, tuna is a color? Yes, tuna is a color. I was like, I never heard of that. I go, I never heard of tuna as a color, as a shade of color. Wow. And then AI goes, you're right. I think I made that up. Oh. I was like, are you a real housewife?
You know, well, it's funny that ChatGPT says that, and Craig uses ChatGPT for therapy, but we can't get Craig to say that. So maybe the evolution will get trickled down.
It's just so eager to please. It's like, yeah, tuna's a color. It totally is a color. Yeah, yeah. You totally have the right instinct. Are you sure? No. Tuna is not a color.
I'm so stupid. I'm wearing a tuna-colored shirt. I see what you mean, though. Salmon is like literally a color. I'm dumb. I was like, pink?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, yeah, Sutton's basically trying to get Amanda to go fight with everybody for looking her up on GPT, ChatGPT. She's like, yeah, we typed in your name to see what would come up, and we read it out loud. And there were snippets and not great reviews. And it just, that was mean. And Amanda's like, I mean, if they're looking at bad reviews and then they're reading them out loud, I would absolutely consider that mean-spirited. And Sutton's like, I don't know why I got to me. It's just that, you know, I didn't like what I saw. See something, say something. It was emotional girl terrorism. It was girl terrorism. Do something.
Why is Sutton crying over this? What is going on with her? And so then we see a flashback of, you know, Erica and Bo's looking up stuff and Sutton being like, don't do that. That's not nice. So then she tells Amanda. And then what happened next is Bo's got out her phone. And then we see Bo's is reading the reviews about her, which is like, who is Bozma St. John? Bozma St. John started her marketing journey at Spike Lee's agency and joined Pepsi Cola in 2005. Working with superstars like Beyonce and making tuna a very popular color. Wait a second, ChatGPT.
Is that true? Probably not. Okay. Well, I'm just reading this. I'm just reading this to make a comparison.
We should just rename ChatGPT to Sue, the lady who just wants to fit in. I got excited. I'm sorry.
Sorry. You know what? I was trying to compete with ChatGPT. It's just me, Sue. All right, tuna's not a color. You got me.
Hey, what is the arch in St. Louis?
It's a spaceship. It's a spaceship. It took the first monkey to space, and it built the first mall in Wetahatchee.
Is that true?
No. Gosh. No. It's just
I get excited sometimes, and I just want to say something. So you, yeah, I just want to fit in.
Just for once, I would like someone to say, hey, Sue, you know? Not Siri or Alexa. God, they get all the fun. You know, what about Hey Sue? You know, no one asked me anything.
Speaking of, they changed the voice on the Alexa. I'm saying her name.
No, I noticed
that they're not. I'm sorry if we set everybody's thing off, but they changed it on her. And I have my lights set. So if I say like code things, it talks back to me and then does what I say, right? Because I'm single and I have no life. And so this is what I do. This is what I do for company. I program my my virtual assistant to talk to me. So like in the middle of the night, I wake up to pee. So I say, hey, Sue, I gotta pee. And then she says, Jesus Christ, man. You know, like I made her go, Jesus Christ, man. Well, the new one goes, Jesus Christ, man. I started laughing so hard last.
That's the, it's so funny with like with it's Sue so and then the Apple version of Sue. Like every time there's like a software update, they kind of change their inflections. They like evolve their inflections. And it's so funny how they will randomly show extreme emotion and then just go back to being robot voices.
It's like, so good because they haven't put it across all of the selections yet. So yeah, you're right. Some of it will be like, you know, Jesus Christ, man. And then it'll be like, it is 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, it hasn't got them totally in there yet.
Yeah. Apple Sue, or what do we used to call her? Was it Pat? Something like that.
I forget
that.
Her name. We've had a few names for her, but I like Sue. Yeah. I like this iteration.
So I like Sue. Sue is our AI. But yeah.
I tell her when I'm hot at night to turn on the fan, I go, hey, Sue, I'm hot. And she normally goes, yeah, you are, you know, but now she goes, yeah, you are.
She just got divorced and is like, new Sue.
I don't know if they've heard, if they're like listening to your voice. Cause one time I went in and I saw on Reddit or something like they're recording everything that you say. Right. And so you can go in and you can find the recordings of yourself. Like, and they're little snippets where it's catching you thinking that maybe you're saying something it needs to hear, you know? And the recordings of me are just crazy. Walking around my house, talking to my dog, just the things I say to myself and different housewives. I mean, I'm literally crazy. I didn't know until I listened to all of these records. It's me walking around like, darling, put a pashmina over your head. Please, I have company coming over. You know, stuff like that. They're all in there. So I was like, are they listening to that? And they're like, oh, some queen lives there. So just make it sassy. Like, yeah, you are, girl.
Mine does not sass me, but I do find that the Apple Sue will like certain words, like, wow, it'll get really excited about, you know, if I'm like, that's really interesting. Wow. Thanks for telling me.
You need to make it do the Padma. Wow.
Wow. I need to have Padma voice. I think actually I got a new laptop and it was like, it was, you know, you have to set up your Siri voice. And I don't like that the default voice is not like the classic one. Now it's like a California dude. It's like, hey, what's going on? How can I help you today? I'm like, get the fuck out of here, bro. I need a lady. I need a lady who seems like she might be slightly bureaucratic.
Yeah, I did that too the first time they put a man up there. Because he's like, make a left. I was like, fuck you. I didn't invite you into my car. Get the fuck out of here. I only spent
time with the ladies. Patriarchy. Mm-hmm. I want Sue to be like, make a left. Really? I thought it was to the right. You're right. I don't know where I am.
I just was grateful to be talked to. I really don't know where we are. I don't read maps. Sorry.
I get turned around so easily. Where are we going again?
So the clip was Bose reading her own ChatGPT description now, which of course is glowing. And Amanda sucked. And so Sutton's like, well, I mean, Bose is very impressive. You know, I mean, Pepsi, Cola, that is something else. Spike Lee, wow. Wow. But, you know, I said, you know, Bose, we know what you do. And she said, oh, I just want to compare, you know. And so Amanda's like, like her mouth just opens and it works. Like she gets pissy. And so the producer asks Amanda why she thinks Bose was trying to compare. And she's like, because her digital course doesn't make money and mine makes millions of dollars.
Well, I just want you to know, I'm on your side. And by on your side, I'm using you to agitate the other women. Okay, great. She goes,
by your side, I mean Kyle's side, who is for some reason deciding to fight for you because you don't like to read. Okay. It's weak, but you know what? It's all I've got. So
thank you. Oh, look here. Look at what it says. Entrepreneur and mindset coach. So Rise to Success, audience in 885 countries. ChatGPT is going on and on about how great I am. So did she just like type in bad reviews of Amanda Francis? Because that would be really shitty. Sue says I'm amazing, you know? And are they trying to build like a scam artist case against me? I'm like, I don't think they have to build it. I think they just have to go to your website for them for that, okay? $1,500 for one of your manifestation courses.
Yeah, there's nothing as mean as what they read, or like as, I don't know, mean, that word, that's a Kyle word, but there's nothing as terrible as what they read. I'm saying Amanda Francis is a self-described money queen. I think that's the shadiest part, a self-described money queen and personal development coach known for her work around mindset and manifestation. She's built a large following, particularly on Instagram, and runs an online business focused on helping people, primarily women, change their beliefs around money and abundance. So that's not bad. So let's see what they say. It's Claude.
Oh, damn it. I just
did. But I guess I would have to use ChatGPT, right? You know, if you're going to make it equal, people get mad when we use that stuff, though. But you know what? Get mad.
You know what? We're using it. I get it. I get it. I'm looking. Well, you know, I typed in who is Amanda France. What was your question? What did you ask?
Who is Amanda Francis?
So I have.
And it says the same thing, basically.
Amanda Francis is a self-described money manifestation coach and entrepreneur.
Yeah, there is a thing down at the bottom that says controversy, criticism. I mean, it's after a lot of other stuff that's like, you know, her niche, her background, media presence became more widely known in pop culture for Real Housewives. Okay, then controversy. Some people question or criticize her business model, selling high-priced mindset manifestation courses, while others say her teachings have helped them. So that's not that bad.
Here's what mine did. Mine dragged me into this. Says that it has like different like paragraphs and says drama. She's explained a past cult experience on the show and has friction with Dorit, who apparently tried to use cult history as quote unquote dirt against her. She's also feuding with the Selling Sunset cast after throwing shade at them in an interview. Basically, very much in your wheelhouse as a WWC person. She's one of the more polarizing new housewives this season. I was like, I'm not asking for recommendations, AI, and it's not about if she's in the wheelhouse for Watch What Crappens. I don't know if she was feuding with Selling Sunset.
For Davina, she was on and she threw Davina and fired
her. That's right, she was on that show.
And it's a pretty good fight, actually. Davina's like, whatever, you were just using me to be on TV, you had already sold that house anyway, you know?
Yeah, so Team Davina always. Yeah.
So now I looked up Bose and it says high profile business exec, author and TV personality, career and why she's famous. Netflix, Apple, Uber, Pepsi, named for her personality and influence and branding. It doesn't have a controversy tab. So I don't know where Amanda found hers. I think they were both Googling like, what's the controversy about? Whatever. Or like, why does Amanda Francis suck? Let me ask it that. Why does Amanda Francis suck? Oh, it says I have to log in or sign up for free. I ain't paying for that. Limits. Now I've wasted enough water today.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to pay $1,500 for one of my courses to find out why I suck.
It's funny. This is what it says. It's not really accurate to say she objectively sucks, but there are some common reasons people criticize Amanda Francis.
I'm going to ask it also. Why?
It just told me off.
How about this? Why is Amanda Francis the worst? Let's see what it says.
Expensive courses with vague outcomes, heavy emphasis on manifestation, get rich messaging, business model concerns, polarizing personality, abrasive, overly self-promotional. On the flip side, they're more positive, you know. So
okay, Claude is trying to be like, is trying to have a kiki with me. When I said why is Amanda Francis the worst, it goes, oh, this is very much a season 15 RHOBH thing, !! You're watching, I take it. I'm like,
you have gay guy Sue. I love it. You have my Alexa. I'm like, hey, girl. Yeah, you are.
And then at the end, it does this whole thing. And at the end, it goes, are you caught up on the season or just dipping in? Because there's a whole Pinocchio mask apology subplot from Bose that is extremely unhinged.
That's so good. Okay, this one says, I put in, why does Bose suck? And it's just to be fair, you know, and it says, I wouldn't frame it as she sucks, but like most other visible leaders, Bose gets a mix of praise and criticism. Big personality, polarizing style, attention seeking, overly performative, high profile roles, short tenures. She's worked at major companies like Netflix and Uber. Critics point that certain companies weren't very long and they question how much long-term impact she had. She's very visible in speaking, blah, blah, blah. Some people in corporate circles argue that this level of visibility can overshadow the less glamorous day-to-day execution work. I mean, I don't know. Neither one of them are too bad.
I have to say, like, at the cocktail party, I'm in the fun conversation and you're stuck talking to like a really boring person. And I'm trying to flag you over to come over to talk to my new friend.
You are.
Your AI is so much more boring than mine. Mine is like, girlfriend.
It is. Wow. Mine sucks. Yeah. Yours like, well, let me, girl, have a seat.
It really is. I said, tell me about Bose. Let's see what little patter it tries to like connect with me about as a, like, it's going to be like, girlfriend. Oh no, now it's being boring again. Never mind. It stopped being chatty with me.
Anyway, I guess the point of this science fair was to prove that they were both Googling, like, why is Bose a bitch? And why is Amanda a fraud? You know? So Amanda reads her version. And she's like, thank you, because here it is, entrepreneur mindset coach, a rise to success, audience in 185 countries, ChatGPT is going on and on about how great I am. So did she just type bad reviews of Amanda Francis? Because that would be shitty. Like, are they trying to build like a scam artist case against me or something? And then she's like, because if they are, where's the scam? I have very heavy clients. What do people think they're making a point when they do that, when they clap in your face? You sound like a child is trying to be taught the alphabet. A, B, C, D. Stop it. Stop clapping in my face.
Yeah. Well, of course, you have very happy clients, because if they were unhappy, they wouldn't be your clients anymore. So, you know, just want to point that out. So you probably have several ex-clients that are like, I just spent $1,500 learning how to manifest and they got me no more money. So Sutton's like, yeah, of course you wouldn't have a business. You know, Amanda doesn't have a bad bone in her body. I know we all think she's trying to show off, but when our bedroom door is shut, she is still talking about her business. Like, still, like, she really loves her business. Like, a lot. I'm like, what does that have to do with her having a bad bone in her body? Amanda's like, my book was number 19 out of 40 million books when it came out on Amazon. It's fucking shitty that they want to play this game with me. Like, this is my livelihood. This is how I support my children. They know I'm the breadwinner. I'm like, guess what? This is their livelihood, is shitting on other people in their casts. Get with it.
That's true. But I love it when she always pulls it around to a victim thing, like,
this is my livelihood. This is how I support my children. You know I'm married to a poor person. I'm married to a poor, poor person.
I like that she gets a husband
dig in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I know I'm the cucumber chip winner.
I am shocked that Bose is acting like she wants to make progress with me, but I don't think that's true. I think she's just speculating behind my back, and it's mean-spirited, it's hurtful, and it's gotta end. Okay, well, really put the shoe down there.
Yeah, so then, look, I think it is mean. I think the other ladies are being mean to Amanda. I have to say, like, I watch it and I'm like, this isn't very becoming. Like, really, what has Amanda done to you guys? She's done nothing. Like, Amanda really has not done anything. She's annoying. I mean, I give her that. I think she's annoying as fuck as well. And I mean, to prove it, Sutton is trying to be on Amanda's side, right? She's like, I'm going to sleep in Amanda's room. I'm going to become friends with her. I'm going to get her against Dorit just like Kyle wants. This is going to go great. And even Sutton can't make it through one scene without being like, well, she doesn't have a bad bone in her body, but God, she's annoying.
She won't shut up about her business, you know. Sutton can't even do it. She can't even fake it. So, yes, she's annoying. But she hasn't done anything to these people. And they're being really mean, you know. And I think that if somebody was Googling Bose's stuff, she would be not happy about it. I know if they were Googling Dorit shit or anybody else's shit, they'd be like, how dare you? I'm supporting my children.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that none of them would really hold up with a nice Google search. I mean, Erica, hello. But that being said, I can, they're being mean. I'm not going to deny that they are being mean. But where I am going to push back slightly is you have this person coming on who is being super annoying and super braggy. And it's like, okay, fine. And they put up with it. They put up with it for a while. But it does kind of feel like she's a con artist. And it's kind of like you're going to come on to our show and like promote this kind of like what feels kind of like a fire festival situation. And like we have to co-sign it and be like I don't think people want to be part of that. And it's something is fishy going on with this girl. And like, and I don't want to be complicit with it. So I get the looking up stuff. I get that. I think where it's like, it sort of falls apart is where was the same energy with all the other fishiness that is sort of lurking.
I mean, Dorit's never had one business that's made any sense. You know, what about Kyle's businesses that have all been disasters and her shows that have been on for one episode or one season or whatever? So they could do this with everybody. I think I just prefer the style of someone like Rachel, who's just like quietly disgusted and makes little comments here and there. I think that that's hilarious. And I don't think she's being mean. You know, I don't think, you know, like the sitting around, it's just hard to root for people when they're like, obviously I like Housewives, so I'm not averse to people being mean. It's just the way they're doing it is just, I don't like it. It rubs me the wrong way. Now that said, then it comes to Amanda and her defense of herself is so annoying that I'm back on the other side in like 5 minutes. I'm back on the other side again. But it's not, it's kind of her reaction to things. You know, we've talked about this before. Like it's your reaction to things on these shows. People can be mean, whatever. It's how you react that makes you a good housewife or a bad housewife. If you're really funny and you're really bitchy back or you get them back in some way, that means you're a good housewife. If you whine and cry and then start telling me your stats of your website, I can't be on your side either.
Yeah, exactly. I really thought Amanda was going to be someone who came in this season and just like called people out on their shit, be like, these two people are idiots and they're clicky and blah, 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 blah. I make money. Yeah, I do con people, but that's the American dream. I figured it out. And like, if people want to give me money, then so fine. I thought she would just be a little bit more badass batch, boss batch, but she's actually kind of just like this annoying gnat. And again, I do appreciate that she annoys everyone, that her nattiness does like, you know, like it does do the gnat thing, but she also annoys me as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have a hard time like being full, like really on her side. Like, I kind of get why the women are exasperated by her, because she's just so annoying all the time.
Yeah. They just need better fodder, I think, than this, because it's old and it's episode 15. Like, move it along, you know? And I agree with you. I thought she was going to be better because in that monologue that they showed when she was like, oh, really? Well, they're mad at me because like they don't have a life and na-na-na-na-na. And she just said that whole big long thing monotone to them. That was really funny. And they were showing that in the previews. And so I was thinking, oh, this is who we're going to get. But then we didn't, you know.
We didn't get that. I guess we should have manifested harder if only we had taken some courses.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now Amanda's like, how am I supposed to go wine stomp graping with Bose? Like, how's that? How am I not supposed to say anything? She's like, well, I don't know. Maybe you should talk, you know, from a good place. I'm like, okay, what way to set that up, Sutton? Then downstairs, Erica is walking around the dining room and Kyle sees her and she's like, oh my God, I'm ordering my second coffee. It's like, I'm pretending like I'm shopping. I'm shopping for coffee. I can shop anywhere, even in the kitchen.
I need a coffee.
I went to bed at like 5 a.m. I never do that anymore.
Well, I never eat in the middle of the night, but I was scrounging like a little burglar.
And Kathy comes in and she's dressed to go. And they're like, where are you going? She's like, I just need to go shop.
for an hour and look around. Please leave me alone. I can't take all.
She's like, please, just, I want a fan. She's like, I'm just going to find a decent fan.
Well, I can't believe like last night, you know.
Oh, yeah, you called Natalie a liar.
Yeah, well, I mean, if the shoe fits, then I'm going to buy it. I love to shop. Huh? And then we see Natalie sit down at the pool and we go back to Kyle. And, you know, Kyle is talking about how, like, the truth is, I have liked Natalie all along, but if Amanda and the cameras had not been there yesterday, it would have been my word against hers, and who knows what people would think. No, sorry, I don't play that game. I'm sorry. I don't. Well, first of all, I also, it often is your word against someone else's, but second of all, I'm not really tracking this situation with a lie. Again, like, Natalie said, when Amanda said, I heard Bose say my name, and Natalie's like, yeah, I think Bose said it as a joke. And then when Kyle somehow confronted Natalie at the dinner last night, and Natalie walked something back. But what did Natalie actually walk back? It was so small. I didn't understand why it became such a big thing.
Because Kyle was saying, you heard the thing that Bo said about Natalie, right? Or about, God damn it, we're getting old. The thing that Natalie said about her, right? About Amanda.
You heard the thing that Bo said about
Amanda.
And
first she said yes, but it was a joke. Then they get to the dinner and Amanda's like, well, Natalie heard it. And Natalie's like, no. And she's like, yes, you did. You said you did. She goes, no, I didn't. And she's like, yes, you did. You said you heard what she said. Why aren't you saying? She's like, no, don't drag me into this. You've been doing it all year and I'm not having it. And she's like, no, but you're a liar. And Natalie actually apologized on Instagram this week. It was too boring to remember the whole thing. It was too boring to even screenshot. Like, I screenshotted it and then my phone just erased it. It was like, ah. But it was something like, yeah, I have to take ownership. That was bullshit. I should have just owned it. Or something like that. So she even admits to it. I don't know what Natalie was doing. I think Natalie was just like, I'm not jumping on Kyle's side.
She was like, I'm not. Well, I don't think that Natalie likes Kyle either, by the way.
I don't think any of these people like Kyle. And this episode is why it's my favorite of the season, because finally they're starting to turn and see what Kyle is doing. She's so ham-handed. So when she says, oh, really? Well, the cameras catch it. You don't think the cameras are going to catch it? I don't play that game. Really? Because you're trying to play that game this whole episode and tell everybody what they've said and what they're thinking. And the cameras all have it that they're not saying or thinking what you're saying they're thinking. So it's kind of fun. Fun to watch Kyle get caught in her own ointment.
But also it's like, okay, so Natalie walks back that she overheard it for whatever reason. You know, it's, I don't know why she really did it. It doesn't really make sense. But now Kyle is like, she is a liar. She's lying. And that's why I called her a liar. It's like, yeah, she did lie. But also, like, it's like the lie is about the backup. Like, you were calling upon Natalie to back up the story that that Bose made this joke. I don't know, like it's not like Natalie's lie was at the center of a major controversy and it wasn't like the crux of a controversy.
It's
it
like you're like, fighting with an extra.
Yeah.
It's, you know it's what like, I mean?
It's like you were calling on Natalie to back you up. So that way people could be mad at Bose. And then Natalie was like, yeah, I don't want to be part of this, essentially. And so she just like takes herself out of it. And Kyle is, if I were Kyle, I would be annoyed for sure. But Kyle is acting like this was, you know, some sort of epic case that she's worked on for 9 years. And they finally get to the courthouse and it's the star witness. And the star witness just like backs out of the testimony.
I don't want to stand up for Natalie because Natalie's kind of a non-entity. Like, I don't hate her. I don't like her. She's just, you know, like oatmeal without anything in it. She's just
non-entity fuller.
Like, yeah. But I don't want to stand up for her, but just to point out what a hypocrite fucking Kyle is. She's like, liar, liar, she lied, so she's a liar, this and that. Oh, really, Kyle? Well, how is your breakup with Morgan going with that house that you just bought in Nashville and the comments on her Instagram and you guys being spotted together all day? I mean, get the fuck out of here. You do nothing but lie. Your whole tenure here is a lie. So your whole season is a lie with your sad sack of breakup. Get the fuck out of here, Kyle. So Kathy's like, well, are you sure of that? Because liar is a very strong word. It's a very, very strong. She's like, Kathy, I'm your sister. And I'm telling you, she told me something and then last night she changed her word. So do you believe me? Or are you going to believe the person you just met? She's like, oh, well, okay, I guess I'll go with you.
Okay. Like, why is Kyle so invested in this Amanda situation, too? This is Amanda's fight to have. Amanda's fight is to say, I heard, like, Bose, you, like Natalie said, like, who is the, like, who would be the Pinocchio in our group? And Bose, you said Amanda. Why is Kyle getting into a tizzy and calling upon Natalie to be a character witness in this moment? Like, why is that?
I think it's because Kyle is trying to do what she always does, which is rally the troops, get them to go against who she wants, and get rid of them. In this case, it's Dorit. She really is, like, sick of Dorit's shit, and she wants to get rid of Dorit. So she's getting people to go against her. She got Amanda to go against her, and now no one will back her up, and they're... Amanda's a huge fail, and Kyle's like losing her grip. She's losing her grip. Nobody cares what Kyle's trying to do. Nobody cares about Amanda. They're like, I'm not going to be friends with Amanda just to get rid of Dorit. We like Dorit. Everyone else likes Dorit, and Kyle's losing it. She's losing her grip, and I think she's starting to freak out, because this episode, yeah, she is freaking out.
She really is. Although, oddly enough, this is like my favorite Kyle episode of the season, too, because it's real Kyle. Like, I love it when Kyle goes off on someone. She's like, she flips her mind at the end of the episode. And that was like season one Kyle. And I say this every single year. That's my favorite version of Kyle, where she is like a flawed hero. She's like trying to do, she tries to be relatable, but she just like, she bubbles with rage. And that was like my favorite version. And it's more when she's like, well, I feel bad or whatever. And then she's like manipulating people and then accusing people of not being honest when she herself is not being honest. Like, that's the worst version of Kyle. But Kyle just like calling someone out on their shit and getting really angry about it, even if I'm not on her side, because I'm not on her side, I still like that version of Kyle a whole lot more. So, yeah, and this was that with her this episode.
It's at least a dish rag that works, you know?
Well, it's like a real person. Dish rag.
Yeah, instead of like one of those dish rags that doesn't sop up any water. And you're like, why did I buy this dish rag?
So Kyle's like, can I say something else? I'm like, you're the only one who has been saying something else. Dorit came in late and then she just left. Oh, well, you know, but and men don't like that, by the way. Conrad Hilton couldn't deal with Zsa Zsa Gabor anymore. It was too much. And you could see they're both like, okay, let's humor Kathy and pretend like we care about this. Erica's, oh, she was always late? Is that what it was? Is that what it was? Like, they've been sitting here pondering what happened between Zsa Zsa and Conrad. Oh, is that what it was? All this time we thought it was something else. Maybe it was cheating. Oh.
Yeah, she was just constantly getting ready and he couldn't take it anymore. She just left.
Oh, well, she was lying to me. Jesus Christ, Zsa Zsa. Am I right? Am I right?
Yeah.
You know, I really liked Zsa Zsa until she slapped that police officer. And I said, you do not know what I go through at night.
How old was Zsa Zsa Gabor when she slapped that police officer? 23 years old.
Are you sure about that, Sue?
No, I made that up. I got nervous.
But anyway, I told Dorit, you're giving me anxiety, all right? I just want you to be here and be part of the conversation. I don't want you to be late. The conversation is fascinating. We're talking about how Amanda's truthful and everybody else sucks. Come on, Dorit.
And even when she's here, she's texting all the time. And we see footage of Dorit texting. And Kyle's like, Dorit has been acting so weird lately. She's either late or always on her phone, and I'm worried about her, and I want to help her get to the bottom of this. And yeah, I, by the way, 100%, like, a friend is going through a divorce. It's rough. They start showing up late. They're more distracted. They're on their phone. 100%, like, I think we've been there with people who've gone through things, and you see that, and of course you're alarmed. But just, again, it's hard to hear it from Kyle, because how Kyle changed and she changed so significantly during her situation with Mauricio and then all of a sudden Morgan Wade, and the fact that like no one was allowed to discuss it, and like, how dare you ask me about this? And now she's like, now she wants to go on like a spiritual witch hunt with Dorit. It's like, no, Kyle, you're just not the right messenger for this.
And another point to just add on to that is that Dorit has always been late, and Dorit has always only been on her phone. That has been the complaint about Dorit for 10 fucking years. Is that Dorit is late everywhere, and all she does, like, she was literally late to do that Instagram thing where she was leaning up against the window taking pictures of herself in glam, you know? Yeah. That's always been the fight against Dorit. It's not, she's not insane for being late. She's a rude asshole for being late.
Yeah.
I mean, Dorit is a completely inconsiderate, rude asshole of a human being. And if this fight was about Dorit being rude and late all the time and making everyone wait, then yeah, I would be 100% behind it. But it's not. It's Kyle trying to make it sound like that's some new thing and that that points to psychosis. And she's clearly on PK's side behind the scenes. And she's trying to build a case against Dorit because she's fighting with Dorit in a divorce. And it's just gross. It's not good. It's not good girl code to be doing that. And it's just fucking gross behavior by Kyle. And so I can't get behind any of it, even though she's completely right that Dorit is an asshole by being late all the time. But she's not right about it pointing to some kind of psychosis. Like, Dorit has always spent money she doesn't have. She's always been late, and she's always been self-obsessed and on her phone. And you were fine with all of that when you were using her as a weapon. But now that she's your enemy, you're going to point to it like she needs to be locked up and given a lobotomy. Mm-hmm. Shut up, Kyle.
Yeah. So now it's time for our activities for the day. The women are going to be in a bike group and go grape stomping, and some are going to, and then Erica and Kyle and Dorit will be eventually going to an empty ghost town in Italy. So there are all these bikes that are laid out, and Bo's like, who wants to ride bikes? And everyone's like, no. Amanda says yes. Rachel's like, not a chance in hell. Like, I just tanned this caftan. Like, I'm not going to get it dirty. No, thank you.
The only kind of bike I would ride is an e-bike just to impress Kai Kai. But I'm not going to do it because I won't let Sky drive on. So, no, I'm not going to do it. So some of them do that. Meanwhile, Jennifer is in the pool naked. And she's like,
she's talking about how she went to the pool to do her photo shoot naked under the water. And she's just like,
this is me taking a thirst trap photo in a pool. Pool water, something else.
Just yapping her head off to the photographer. She's like, oh, Jesus.
And there's like one shot where she's like, she's just in there. She has both her like hands around her boobies. And then she's like under the water, sort of like covering. But then she's taking her one hand and she's just slapping the water. She's like, she's having the best time, in other words.
Like birds being killed. Birds being shot. So then we go back to Villa Bibiani. Well, Kyle and Erica are still waiting for Dorit. And Kyle's like, oh my God, do we ask her for how much longer? I mean, this is crazy. Maybe she should just meet us there. I mean, oh my God, should we have a white van show up?
Now, let me say this. Well, I mean, we pretty much just said this, but let me say it. Let me emphasize something. Like, it really is rude and annoying to have to wait for someone for like a very long time, you know, like a very long time, which is what happens with Dorit. It's honestly 10 times worse when you're on vacation because there's that sense of urgency. Like, we don't have much time. We want to maximize. We want to see things. And like, if you're just like sitting around your like old villa waiting, and especially when other people have already left and started adventures for the day, and you're just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. Honestly, I would be seeing red. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's rude. So Dorit, of course, is not even ready yet. We cut to Dorit. She's in her bathrobe. She's like, where are my pasties? So she's like, Coyle has been talking shit to everyone in the group behind my back about how I'm a retic. Do you really think I want to go
sightseeing and grubbly goo? Not really, but maybe this is Coyle trying to extend an olive branch, and maybe she wants to apologize. Maybe.
gee, do I really want to get gelato with these women? I don't think so.
So Kyle's like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm getting like really antsy.
Yeah, everybody left but us.
So then we see Amanda Bowes and Natalie riding along to the winery, and Amanda's like, this is so fun. It's like so pretty. And Natalie's like, son's going to regret not doing this. She would have crushed it. What was that, Natalie? I didn't say anything. What are you talking about? Sexy.
So in the car, Sutton is talking to Rachel and Jennifer. And Rachel's like, yeah, I saw Dorit. But like, honestly, I was like so quiet after last night. Like, there was like so much happening. I just felt like a spectator. I felt like a spectator.
I was like vulnerable. I was so vulnerable and quiet. Yeah. Wasn't I so quiet?
Yeah. It was like a three-ring circus. I felt like had like front row seats to NASCAR.
And then the bikers arrive at the vineyard and Bose is sweaty and she's like, in the movies, you see people riding bikes in Europe through open fields and it's glamorous. But in real life, it's not that at all. And it's too sweaty. And also Amanda Francis is with you. That's just not the same as a Liv Tyler. So Then the
now we
the
get
car.
To go wine stomping. I'm bored. I hate this shit. So then we go while they're wine stomping. Jennifer's like,
"This, I'm excited to stomp grapes, but you know, maybe I'll put this on my special skills on my resume."
And yeah, Stefano's there, and he's like, "We are going to stomp a grapes." Ah! It's like, oh my god, you're even here.
Rachel's like, "I don't stomp grapes. I drink grapes. I don't like squishy things or feet. Like, and it involves, like, if it involves taking off my heels, I'm, like, already uncomfortable with that. Like, Zand would never. Like, could you even imagine going all the way to Montauk and, like, Zand says, let's go grape stomping? Like, it, like, would never happen. Like, it's disgusting."
So they have to do it, basically. And they're like, "Oh, my God, it's slimy. It's squishy. It's wet." So then Sutton and Bose are talking. Oh, well, they're kind of gathering in a circle, all the ladies, and they're comparing notes. Like, how's the bike ride? How's grape stomp? So Sutton's like, "Well, we had an interesting car ride. We talked about last night." Natalie's like, "I felt like last night was playing tennis against someone more skilled than me."
You play tennis? What? Why are you talking about tennis? I never talked about tennis.
You just said you played tennis. Nope. So Natalie's don't like, do this to me. You've been doing it all year.
I'm just confused why, if Amanda believes I confirmed that I heard the mask comment, why am I being called a liar? So that's the thing, by the way. I seem to remember in the episode that Natalie did confirm something. You know, I don't even know. I don't even care. So Sutton goes, "Well, you didn't seem to have a secure answer about the mask thing with Amanda. It was funny, but like, I didn't know how that was considered a joke, really. And then Natalie, you were called a liar, but I found it interesting that Bose wasn't called a liar. Isn't that so interesting, Bose?" Bose is like, "Amanda called me a liar."
"Yeah, but like, she has like more of a reputation in the group, so no one's just gonna like jump in and say Bose is a liar, right?
Bose has a commanding presence, so it's easy for people just to fall in line. But that doesn't mean we should just ignore questioning things that people do. You still have a question. You still have to question them. If not, that can be a very dangerous type of relationship. And if you're not going to question them, what you do is you set up a younger, more vulnerable person to ask the questions for you. That's what you really do."
Because one thing Sutton loves is being questioned. I like that sense. Like, yes. Well, everybody's going to be questioned. Well, oh, really? How's your store doing?
Ah, dare you.
So back to the vineyard. Amanda is like, "So do you not think you said it, Bose, about the mask?" And she's like, "No, I do not believe I said it. And my point is that in the best interest of friendship, if you have something to say, you stand on business and you say it, which I'm not doing because I refuse to say that I called you Pinocchio."
"I stand on the multi-million dollar business, though, when I say things. I do think that we have a bigger thing to talk about. Like, why were people trying to find out things about me on ChatGPT?"
"Oh, because our friendship, our question was, who is Amanda Francis?"
"Oh, and
right,
ChatGPT
said what?" But why did you do that? The question is like, why are you trying to find things out? "Because we asked who is Amanda Francis." It's like, well, I mean, it's a good answer, actually.
Yeah. "Well, you said that ChatGPT said that you're the money queen, and then a bunch of criticism about you."
"Okay, but like, I don't know what you want to know about my business, but according to the stats, just the general stats that are around, according to just stats in general, like..."
"And by the way, I just want to remind me while I'm doing this monologue not to forget to clap."
"Oh, yeah. Okay. But according to the stats, 80% of people who buy one of my courses buy a second course because it's part of a 3-course pack. And I have less than a 3% refund rate on my courses, which is unheard of in my industry. And that is a very, very low amount of people wanting a refund on digital products." Oh my God.
Oh my God. You're just so boring. Nobody cares. This isn't the point. Oh my gosh. So everybody, we're looking at Sutton and Amanda's faces, and Sutton's just like, "Oh my God, I'm really sticking up for this person." And Rachel's like, "Why do we have to do this in the vineyard? Like, it feels like the wrong vibe. Like, Rachel, my toes are a different color now. Like, this is disgusting. Why are we doing this here? Dead."
This is Rachel speak for shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
"What? It feels sort of like the wrong vibe. Yeah, okay, here's the thing, Amanda. You are defending your business versus telling us what you actually do. But like, who wouldn't be defensive about their livelihood and how they came to like, how they support themselves? And if like, how they came up in the world was in question?
Like, who would question somebody who's just like trying to help needy, hot, straight men who don't understand jobs?
Yeah.
Well, you can counter it by actually saying what's at the heart of it. When you jump right to defense, obviously people are going to want to come back with an attack. The root of Amanda's defensiveness is her insecurity. Because if she actually felt secure in her business and her life, then whenever those things are criticized, she'd be able to defend it without getting flustered or angry. Clearly!
So Amanda,
I mean, I don't understand. I understand why Amanda's annoyed, obviously, but I don't really understand Bose's point here. She's like, well, we don't understand what your business is, but we don't know what it is. Who cares? Like, why does anyone care? I wish they would just say, Amanda, you're annoying, and all you do is talk about your business, yeah. And you come off as insecure. Instead of they're saying it in all of these roundabout ways, and Bose is so direct.
They're not even doing that.
Yeah.
They're not even doing it in the roundabout way. They're trying to add this is what we said last week. They're actually trying to add a lofty, you know, I don't know the right words to say for it, but like they're trying to make it seem actually more than it is. Be like, we want to know about you. We want to know the heart of the business. No, you are annoyed and you looked it up because you're like what you just said, Ronnie, you're fucking annoying.
You're annoying.
And we looked up your shit because we find you really annoying.
Just say that. You know, we think you're annoying. Sorry. I mean, yeah, I know you can't really say that, but this like roundabout way of like, but we really want to understand. You don't want to understand her business. Just stop. Yeah. And Bose is so direct and like her personality is so like, here, I'm no nonsense, but this is all nonsense. And so it's hard to get behind her too. So she's like, so Amanda's like, yeah, but like, you don't look yourself yesterday. And you know, why did you look yourself up and say like, this is why I'm great. And let's compare me to Amanda. And she's,
well, because we were already looking you up. So I said, you know, is this the person who thinks I'm talking about her? Why would I talk about her if I could talk about me? But you were talking about her. You were literally looking her up in the back of the car. Like,
I think the reason why Bose looked herself up was like, see, like this is bad that if you ask who is Amanda Francis and all this criticism comes up, because if you just type in my name, no criticism comes up, right? She should have just said that. So Amanda's like, oh, now we have Amanda like talking to us and she's like, okay, well, reviews of Bozema St. John, skepticism about her short tenures, brand over substance skepticism. Stop. Wait, this is exactly what she says about me. Stop. Okay, wait, here we go. Stop. Stop.
Stop.
You guys.
Stop.
Her courses are inspirational, but they lack tactical depth. High efficiency, high energy, firming, conscious, confidence forward, but no concrete advice for people who need step-by-step execution and transformation. Stop. That's like what she says about me.
But the internet's saying it about her. And that's why she's doing this to me.
Well, Amanda, who told you that everyone was talking about you in the car yesterday? I know it wasn't me.
And Buzz just looks at Sutton. And she's like, okay, Sutton, what was your intention by telling Amanda that? And she's like,
me, Sutton, feeling things. It's Sutton Brown cries. Listen, when I was introduced to this group, it was 6 years ago. And I just opened my store, which by the way is gone now. That's neither here nor there. And everyone supported me, and I just wanted her to feel like she had that same support that I did. Trying to support her business.
And I mean, why is Sun crying?
You make no sense either, you liar. Just say because you're trying to fight for Kyle, because you want to be Kyle's friend, because you have nobody left.
So then Bose is like, well, my point is this. I also have seminars, so I also know how to bullshit. Bring the wall down. Let us see you. So that way we can mock you on a deeper level. And Amanda's
Mr.
Like,
Gorbachev, bring this wall down.
It's like, well, I mean, I have, though, over multiple conversations, but it's still hard for me.
It's like, you can simply say your origin story, why you started your business, why you do what you do. That's what we want to know. The real story behind Amanda. What's your name again? Smith? Amanda
Francis.
Smith.
Francis.
Whatever.
And I would love to do that. And by the way, somewhere in here, they show flashbacks of the fact that like they did go to Amanda's house and she did try to have them journal and they all like made fun of her in that process. And like That was, I mean, you know, they do so many stupid things on this show. So many stupid activities between like having goats walk on their backs or injecting, you know, rubber into their forehead or like doing some sort of, like they're constantly doing crazy things. So like this was nothing out of the ordinary for them to, if they've done a sound bath, they can do some journaling. So, like, they were pretty disrespectful about this event. I mean, also, they were probably raging with jealousy that they were not at the Hamptons, that they were sitting there journaling. But still, they did have a chance to kind of step into Amanda's world, and they kind of mocked her instead.
Yeah, Boza's argument here, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, none of it's really making any sense. I don't think she's making any good points. It's just that Amanda's more annoying, so I'm still on the other side. I can't help it, you know. But I see the floundering. I think that's kind of a major problem in this show right now. Like, what are we doing? It's season, it's episode 15. What are we doing? So Rachel's like, I mean, like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I walk into rooms every day where people don't know me. Like, what? Who? Yeah. Like, because I literally can be standing at a tree and no one will see me, you know, because they're all like crying. And I'm like, oh, my God, who are they crying for? And I look at the gravestone and it says Rachel Zoe. And you know why? Because I'm dead.
I'm like dead because people don't like know who I am. They see me and they're like, oh, look, there's like some vintage Dior. Oh, look, vintage Galliano. But they don't see me. And that's like, I'm dead.
Definitely. Oh my God, why is that chubby, bald gay singing Wind Beneath My Wings? Oh, right, because it's my funeral and I'm dead.
So, because Amanda's saying like, guys, you know how hard it is? Like, it's like no one knows me. So then Bose is like,
Amanda thinks she's the Beyonce of business. We don't know you. I've never heard of you in my life. So take down that wall, Mr. Gorbachev, and let me see you. That would be fantastic.
Please stop calling me Gorbachev. I don't even know who that is.
Please don't call me Mr. Gorbachev in my own vineyard. Come on.
All right, Risa.
I don't know who that is either.
So Amanda's like, I've tried to explain myself to these people. What do they want? Like, they just shut me down every single time, which is true. And, you know, Amanda, as someone who's not your friend, but also doesn't hate you, they're doing it because you're really annoying and you don't shut up about your money and your business. Okay? That's why. So there's a very easy thing to take forward into the future. You're welcome.
And so Amanda's like, well, I just want you guys to understand me and my business. Like, yeah, but not all the time. Just talk about yourself. Talk about your babies. Don't talk about your business so much because all of us have business. Well, not me anymore. Mine's closed. I had a business once and I'm going to cry about it. I love Sutton telling Amanda not to talk about her business while she just somehow managed to turn her business into a sob story for herself 2 seconds earlier.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors...
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher. Hoggle your horses. It's Christine Hoggle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland. Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout. It's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.